That new song you led, and thank you to the quartet. It was special, and so we really appreciate that. And I had not thought about it being Bruce's last part of the quartet, and I thought you probably should save that for later. Might start crying, because we will certainly miss Bruce and Janet, and that's been a special thing for us. So good morning. It's been a good service thus far, and it is a joy to be with you all this morning. I've been asked as part of the candidating process to share my vision for the future of Oak Grove Mennonite Church. And I'm excited about doing so because I believe there are already some incredible things happening here. And so what I have to share this morning isn't necessarily a new direction, but rather it is to take the great things that we already are doing and to magnify them for the good of God. And I see an exodus happening, and I'm reminded that Children's Church is indeed happening. So if you're part of that, go ahead and head to the back. I was like, man, am I that bad already? What's going on? See, I appreciate that we're just flexible here. Good. So, like I said, I think we have some incredible things already happening here at Oak Grove, and my vision is to take the good that we're already doing and magnify it, or allow God to magnify it. And so as I thought about what should I share with you this morning, I thought, well, what is vision? What does it mean to have God's vision? I mean, that's an awful heavy thing to even consider. And so I wanted to start with the big picture. And when I think about a vision for the beautiful future that God has prepared for us, this Isaiah 2 passage is what comes to my mind. That there is this mountain of God at the end of all time, and that all nations will be streaming to it. Now we live in a world that is incredibly divided. Our country, our community, our churches, our families, maybe even within ourselves in so many different ways. And the prophet Isaiah gives this vision of a future where all nations, regardless of what your language is that you speak, where you come from, who you have been in your life, will be streaming to the mountain of God to worship. And so this is the big picture of the end. We know the destination. The question for us then is, how are we going to get there? As I was thinking about this, I was thinking about driving. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever experienced this, but if you are going somewhere and you've been that way a lot of times, sometimes you might start driving and end up in your destination and not even realize that you got there. Not exactly know how you got there. Teenagers, I expect that this will not happen to you for many, many years, but for adults, we space out. We end up where we meant to go, but we don't know how we got there. Well, that's one way to reach the destination, to not be paying attention to what's around us, but to arrive where we are going. Another way, of course, could be that we just sort of decide on the fly which way we're gonna go. So, as I think about driving to Columbus from here, you take 245 out to 287, and as far as I know, there are three different ways, I'm sure there are more, that you can get from 287 to 33. You can take that little bumpy hill shortcut. You can take the long way. There's the Sam Park special, which is some back way that he showed me before. And to be honest, I just kind of let my whims of the moment decide how I'm going to get there at that time. That's another way that you can reach your destination. It's not very intentional. It doesn't necessarily have a plan in mind, but you will get to where you are supposed to be going. As I think about us as a church and reaching this end where God has called us to be, the word that comes to my mind is intentional. And that's exciting for me. We know where we are going. We know the end result. And God has called us not only to come to the mountain, but to be a part of the process of getting to the mountain. And so in that process, we can be intentional about the way that we live out what God is calling us to do. You see, the kingdom of God, we know, is coming. We know it's not fully here yet because we still live very much in a broken world. There is pain and there is hurt. And Jesus tells us, though, in Mark 1:15, that the time promised by God has come at last. He announced the kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe in the good news. So when Jesus was here on earth with his followers, he was telling them that the kingdom of God is not only coming, but it is near because I am with you. And then when Jesus ascended or went back up into heaven, he commissioned his followers to continue the good work that he had already been doing here on earth. The world may still be broken that we live in. The kingdom of God may still be coming, but because Jesus had come and had given us this message of the good news, the kingdom is also here. Every day through the lives of faithful Christians, the world can look more and more like God intended it to be. And we here at Oak Grove get to participate in that good work. And so as we live in that time of not yet and yet coming, where we're waiting to finally stand at that mountain of God together with all peoples, how will we as the family of God at Oak Grove live into Isaiah's final vision of the world? So we spent the beginning part of this year considering what it means to be the family of God together on mission. We spent some time thinking about, well, what is a family and what draws us together? We spent some time thinking about what is the gospel message that we are called to share and how might we share that with others? And hopefully we've come to realize that although we all have the same gospel message, it can get shared in many different ways, depending on the community you live in, depending on your spiritual gifts and who is the makeup of your church or your family of God. And so this morning I'm going to share the vision, what I believe is God's vision for us here at Oak Grove in Logan and Champaign County in Ohio, and how we can be the gospel message to the world around us. This comes from my 9.5 years of living life with you all and seeing how God has been working in the journey of Oak Grove Church. It captures what we have in many ways already been doing, but it also hopefully capitalizes on some of the conversations that we've been having for years about what we should be doing as a church, but maybe have not done yet. And like I said, I think we at Oak Grove, in many ways, we're doing a good job, and it would be really easy to rest on that and say, well, look, we have pretty good attendance. We meet our budget every year. We're able to be generous. We do all these good works in the community. It would be really easy to sit on all of that and say we're doing good enough. But I don't believe that that would be faithful to what God is calling us to be. So this morning, we're going to consider the vision for Oak Grove that includes 3 core values and 4 essential areas of our life together. The 3 core values that we're going to talk about are the values of missional church, discipleship, and leadership. And the essential areas of our life together are discipleship, mission, worship, and community. Now, you know, an observant person would notice there's some overlap between those things. And I'm also aware of that. But I think that as you see, some of these things of overlap of missional as a core value and mission as what we do speaks to who we want to be and some of the specific things that we're going to do. So hopefully you can track along with me about this. And all of these things are centered around the person of Jesus Christ. Everything we do together as a congregation has to be centered on Jesus Christ. And so let's consider then, who is God calling us to be together today? So we have these 3 core values: missional, discipleship, and leadership, or leadership development. And with each of these values is a clarifying question that we need to be asking of ourselves to better evaluate and think about, are we living into who God is calling us to be together? So the first value is missional, and the question that goes along with that is, are we living like Christ? When we look at our lives together and the work of the church that we are doing together, we should be asking, in everything we do, is this an opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ? In everything that we do, are we having opportunities to live like Christ and encouragement to each other to live like Christ? The second value is discipleship, with that clarifying question of, are we growing like Christ? When we look at all the things we do together as a church, our committees, our events, our worship time together, our Sunday school, whatever it may be, we should be asking, are these things leading us to be more and more like Jesus? Jesus' final words to his disciples before he left this earth was to commend them to make more disciples. He says in Matthew 28:19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Disciple making is an indispensable part of the Christian life. Discipleship is what we should be about, growing in the image and likeness of Jesus. And the last core value is leadership. Are we developing leaders? Are we finding and encouraging the God-given potential in each and every one of us? And I truly believe each and every one of us has a God-given potential to be a leader in some way, shape, or form. Are we finding that? Are we encouraging that? Are we empowering that to happen? And for those of us currently in leadership, the question we should be asking is, are we creating leaders who can replace us? Which that sounds kind of odd, maybe, but that's planning for the future. When we look at Scripture, we see all kinds of examples of leaders who raised up other leaders who would eventually replace them. Moses raised up Joshua. Eli raised up Samuel. Jesus raised up Peter. He told Peter, you're the rock upon which I'm going to build this church. Paul raised up Timothy. All throughout Scripture, leaders raising up leaders. So we have these three core values of missional, discipleship, and leadership development, which all ask the questions, are we living like Christ? Are we becoming like Christ? And are we developing leaders who will live like Christ and become like Christ? So, those are our three core values. Now I want us to think about who we are and what we do as a church, and what I'm calling this the four essential areas, and how everything we do as a church fits somewhere into those. Now, our vision statement is this acronym SHARE, right? It's on the back of your bulletins, and I would dare anybody to try to tell me what that acronym is without actually looking at it. It is a great thing. I was not here when it was created. I'm sure that there were lots of meetings to get this acronym to work out. And I think it captures what's most important in our lives together as a church. Although I'll say I'm not convinced that it's been all that useful, mostly because we don't know what it means, what it says. But I think the whole idea of distilling down to the basic of who we are together and what is most important, I think that's so valuable. So it helps us to figure out what should we be doing? And maybe on the converse side, what shouldn't we be doing? So for me, as I think about Oak Grove, as I've seen her over these years, and our lives together, and what has been most important and valuable, I think we can put everything under this umbrella of four essential areas in our lives together, which these areas are discipleship, mission, worship, and community. And as we briefly going to go through these, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. The bigger thing is to look at these areas through the lenses of those three core values. So when we think about our worship, when we think about our community, our discipleship, our mission together, we should be asking the question, are these things helping us to grow like Christ? Are these things allowing us to live like Christ? Are we developing leaders in this area? So just to start off with discipleship, these are the things that we do to help us grow more like Jesus. So they're things like missional discipleship groups, Sunday schools, small groups, our weekly Bible study, our prayer gatherings, MYF, JYF, mentoring, all of these things. And you could probably put some more under this. But the question is that I would want you to think about, if you've been here for any amount of time, is, are you a different person now from the time that you first came to Oak Grove? And is it because of your time with Oak Grove? Well, I would certainly hope that the answer is yes, and that's what discipleship is all about. It's not that we're going to be perfect people. That will never, ever happen on this side of heaven. But it's that we are continually growing together. The second core area of our, or a central area of our life together, is mission. That's reaching out into our world and the community around us. And we see this through things like Bells, through the blessing bags, through Bless WLS, through the food pantry, through the initiatives from the outreach committee, from VBS, harvest offerings, summer mission trips, financial support that we give to missionaries and mission agencies. But, you know, we also see this organically through things like, you know, Rod Hager going to serve in Texas with MDS. We see that with Andy and Anita serving in Arizona with Soup, and Leah in Ecuador, Willie and Winfred going to Brazil, and Becca and Trish going to Haiti. We see this with Jacob Regeer in San Francisco. Mission looks like a whole lot of things, and sometimes it's what we do together, sometimes it's what we do individually. But mission is an important part of who we are as a church. The third essential area of who we are as a church is worship. You know, that doesn't have as many things under the slide, I know, but each of those represent a lot of stuff. Our Sunday morning service, our holiday services, our place to display our talents and to grow leaders and develop skills. I remember when I first started, you know, there was a young punk that was learning guitar and wanted to play in the worship band, and we let Matthew Kaufman turn his amp up, even though sometimes it grated on some of the sound techs. But he learned through that process, and now he helps play and lead worship at his church in Pennsylvania. And we see that this is a space to grow leaders in that way. It's a gift to see the Kaufman sax quartet. It's a gift to hear the Jonesburgers sing. It's a gift to see Sam and Margaret and Sherry do skits, and to hear the organ from Judy and Grace. And of course, our favorite Sunday of the year is Puppet Show Sunday. There's a lot of amazing things that happen in worship together as we gather and praise God. And that's one of our essential areas at church. And then finally, our community is an essential area, thing that we do together. This is our mutual care, this is our retreats, this is our fellowship events, Sunday school, meal train, visitation ministry. We have a breakfast with the Legacy Builders every month on a Saturday. But I also think, again, about some of the organic ways that we care for one another. When Christopher Buescher's car broke down in Cincinnati, Darren Turner took Todd down with a flatbed to pick up his car and bring it back up here. You know, that's a way to mutually care and use something that we have to care for one another. And that's just one small example. I know so many ways that this happens. And that's so essential and important to our life together. So the question then is, how do we know that we are living faithfully and bearing fruit as a church together in all of these areas of mission, of discipleship, of worship, and community? You know, for a long time, the standard measurement of like a successful church was how many people are coming on a Sunday morning, how much money is coming in the offering plate, how many people are on your membership roster. And for years, we've been wrestling as an elder group of, is that really how God evaluates faithfulness? Is that really how God evaluates fruitfulness? How do we know as a church that we are doing what we are supposed to be doing? We have been feeling for a long time that it has to be about more than just numbers. Not that numbers aren't real or valuable, But we recognize those are tangible measurements. Those are easy measurements. It's easy to look at the number of attenders in a church and say, we're doing good because we have more than we did last year. We're doing bad because we have less. But that doesn't say anything about the fruitfulness and faithfulness of the people that are here. And so, instead, I think we should be measuring our fruitfulness and faithfulness by these core value questions. Are we growing more and more like Christ together? Are we living our faith out in the neighborhoods that we live in the places we work, and in the places that we play? And are we creating and developing leaders who look like and live like Christ? Because if we can say yes to those questions, or at the very least, if we can say we're trying our best, or we have a plan in place, then we can know that we are being faithful to who God has called us to be, and we are being fruitful in spite of what numbers tell us. And, you know, just to be fair, our numbers are absolutely fine. We're very blessed financially. We have held pretty steady attendance-wise for a while. So it's not as if we aren't good in those areas. But I would say again that that isn't how we should be measuring ourselves or answering that question of, are we who God has called us to be? So how can we continue to grow in these areas of worship, of community, of discipleship, and of mission, and be fruitful and faithful? Well, I think we do that by looking at ourselves, looking at our programs and our lives together through the three core values, and ask those questions. In our worship together, are we growing like Christ? Are we living like Christ, and are we developing leaders? In our community, are we growing like Christ? Are we living like Christ, and are we developing leaders? In our mission and in our discipleship, are we growing like Christ? Are we living like Christ, and are we developing leaders? If we hope to continue down the road that God has had us on for these many, many years together, and avoid becoming stagnant, then we need to regularly ask ourselves these questions. And if we ask ourselves these questions and the answer is no, or I'm not sure, then we need to find ways to say yes. And all of this has to be rooted firmly in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us in John 15:4, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." So we remain in Christ, and Christ will remain in us, and we will bear fruit because we are on the vine. So practically then, what does this look like? Well, a couple of things. With discipleship, I think we need to consider, as people come into the building, is there an intentional path from coming in and visiting the very first time to being a part of a missional discipleship group or a Sunday school and engaging intentionally in growing like Christ? Or do we just sort of hope those things happen? Specifically, as a church, I think we need to continue to focus on our missional discipleship groups, which ask the question of, what does it mean to be a disciple who makes disciples? The ultimate goal for all of us is not just that we are growing in Christ, but it's that we are growing in Christ and helping others to grow in Christ. If we believe the Great Commission to be true, then our number one thing we should be doing is making disciples. This would include then new missional discipleship groups. It would include new leaders. And if we aren't already doing this, I think we should start viewing these groups as the building block to who we are as a church together. Then I think about missional and this core value of missional. And I think we need to discover, we need to assess, and we need to empower our passions. Are your passions being empowered here at church? What are you passionate about? Do you even know the answer to that question? What do you have a heart for? Do you have a heart for children? Do you have a heart for singles, for married couples, for people in poverty, for the elderly, for the addicted? Are you a big fan of hiking, of fishing, of camping, of basketball, of scrapbooking? How can God use your passions for the sake of the gospel? And how can we as church leadership empower you in those passions to be a missionary in that area? And right now, one of the significant needs in our community that we've been meeting is the need of hunger. We do this through the food pantry. We've been doing this through the blessing bags at West Liberty. We recognize, unfortunately, that there's an awful lot of hungry people in our community, which we might not have thought so several years ago. And I wonder, as we meet that need, are there those in the population who we're missing, who aren't getting the food they need, who aren't being approached by us as a church? I think about some other ways we could address this question of, are we living like Christ? You know, I think about church planting, and I think in the next 5 to 10 years as a congregation, we should be moving towards church planting, whether that's us doing it or partnering with other churches or partnering with conferences. People who study the church recognize the best way to get new people to come to Christ is by planting new churches. And we're moving away from mega churches. The world is not moving towards that anymore. And so, you know, the average church size in America is like 50 people. And so it's not about building churches to be 2,000, 3,000 people. It's about making more opportunities to worship God together. Along with all of these things, I think we need to continue to find ways to share our personal missional stories. How have you shared the love of Jesus Christ this last week? I bet a lot of you have a good story, or you might not think so, but it's probably a better story than you realize. My mom and dad are people with a missional heart for their neighborhood. Now, they don't know that word missional because they don't come here, but they do it ultimately. Last week was one of their neighbor's birthdays, and it was also the 2-year anniversary of his wife's death, and so my mom naturally just made him a cake, and it was an opportunity to get to talk to him and share with him. And he knows our daughter, he knows her name, he's made stuff for her. You know, it's a very simple gesture of baking a cake for somebody on their birthday, but it's comes from an understanding that Jesus has called us to love our neighbors. And I know that many of you have stories like this. We need to continue to find ways to share these stories as examples and encouragement. So finally, then, I think about the core value of leadership. We need to become leaders who develop leaders rather than, and I'm not pointing out anybody specifically, but this has been our pattern as long as I've been here, is that we use our leaders for as long as we can until they can't do it anymore and they leave or whatever, they retire, and then there's a vacuum. And so we're left scrambling for, well, who's going to be the next X, Y, and Z? And that's not a great way to do things. We need to be developing leaders underneath our leaders already so that we can share the wealth of leadership opportunities in the church, and so that we can use the gifts that people have. This also means, I think, recognizing our valuable unpaid leaders in the congregation, and there are so many of those. As I've been here for 9.5 years now, I would not have been able to do youth ministry without Jerry and Roxanne and without Joel in the JYF, because I have never had to worry about the junior high other than just saying, can I buy you something? Can I buy you something? That's what I wanted to do. Let me buy you some curriculum. How can I help you with things? They've never gotten paid for their work, but they have functioned just as much as a youth pastor as I have with the JYF. We've never officially called them pastors, but they have been pastors. And so I think it's not just them. There are many people who are leaders in the church in that way. How can we recognize this as happening? How can we empower that, encourage that, and equip that, and acknowledge the hard work that people are doing? I am so excited to be a part of the future of Oak Grove, if you would have me. I have been so blessed to be here these last 9.5 years. This is my family in so many ways. And the reason I'm excited is because God is and continues to do good work here. God is and continues to do good work here. I truly believe that. This is an incredible group of people with many gifts, many skills, and passions. And if we work together with doing the missional work of God, being disciples of Jesus Christ, and developing leaders, we will be called faithful and fruitful. And we will take part in the present kingdom that is here now and ushering the new kingdom that God is bringing as we all stream together towards the mountain and worship the Lord God. Thank you. Let's pray. Almighty God, I thank you for this congregation and for who you have called them to be, for the gifts and skills that you have instilled in us together. And Lord, as we look to the future of Oak Grove Mennonite Church, as we work together towards that future, God, I would pray that you would continue, that you would allow us to be intentional. We know the end, God, but help us to figure out the right roads to get there for us and for our community. I thank you for every person here, for their relationship with you and for what they mean to me, to us, and to the community. And Lord, I thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray all these things. Amen. I invite the worship team to lead us in a song of response.
Will you please stand?